everyone. So get this. I was reading this thing on Quantum Computing Report, right? And they were talking about AWS.
AWS?
Yeah, AWS. They're doing some pretty cool research with, get this, something called CatQuibbits. CatQuibbits.
Okay, I'll bite. CatQuibbits. That's a new one. What are those all about?
Yeah, so apparently it's all about tackling errors.
Errors?
Yeah, those errors that just seem to pop up everywhere in quantum calculations.
Oh, right. Errors. Yeah, those are kind of a big deal in quantum computing, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's like the universe just loves messing with our quantum systems.
Yeah, for sure. But AWS seems to be onto something here. So I thought it would be awesome to, you know, like, take a deep dive into this whole CatQuibbit thing. What do you think?
I'm in. Let's unravel this quantum mystery.
Awesome. So I guess the first question is, why is it so hard to make these quantum computers reliable in the first place? I mean, classical computers have errors too, don't they?
You're right, they do. But it's like comparing a gentle breeze to a hurricane. In the quantum world, even the tiniest disturbance can throw everything off. Temperature changes, vibrations, stray electromagnetic fields, you name it, qubits are sensitive to it.
And that's where those errors come in, right? Those bit flips and phase flips. I always get those mixed up. Can you give us a quick refresher?
Sure. Imagine you have a coin, heads representing one and tails representing zero. A bit flip is like someone sneaking up and flipping your coin without you noticing your information literally gets flipped.
Okay, so it's like a straight up change in the value, like from a one to a zero.
Exactly. Now, a phase flip is a bit trickier. It's like someone messing with the weight distribution of your coin, making it biased towards heads or tails. The information is still there, but it's been subtly altered.
Ah, okay. So it's more like a shift in the way the information is encoded, not the information itself.
Exactly. And these errors can quickly snowball, leading to completely wrong results. That's why error correction is so crucial in quantum computing. We need ways to detect and fix these errors before they spiral out of control.
And that brings us back to these mysterious CatQuibbits, right?
Precisely. Now imagine, instead of storing information in a single qubit, we use a collective state of multiple particles.
Like spreading the information across a whole bunch of qubits instead of just one.
You got it. And that's the basic idea behind CatQuibbits. Instead of a single point of failure, we have a more robust system.
So it's like we're building in redundancy from the ground up.
Makes sense. So how did AWS test this out? They didn't actually use cats, did they?
Haha, no cats involved.
Yeah.
They used a chip with 9 superconducting transmon qubits.
9.
Wow.
Yeah. 5 of those were designated as data qubits. Those are the ones holding the information we want to process.
Okay, the important stuff.
Right. And the other 4, those acted as ancilla qubits.
Ancilla qubits, those are the helpers, right?
You got it. They're like the error correction squad, constantly monitoring the data qubits for any signs of those pesky bit flips or phase flips. They do this by interacting with the data qubits in very specific ways, allowing us to indirectly detect if an error has occurred.
Uh-huh. So they're like the guardians of good data.
You could say that. And the cool thing is, they can do this without actually disturbing the delicate quantum information stored in the data qubits.
That's pretty slick. So they set these CatQuibbits loose, had their error correction crew on standby. What happened next?
Well, they really put these CatQuibbits through the ringer. They ran multiple tests, even intentionally introducing errors to see how well the system could handle them.
Talk about a stress test.
They even tested 2 different error correction codes, distance 3 and distance 5. Think of these as different levels of security for our quantum information.
Higher the distance, tougher to crack.
You got it.
So what was the verdict? Did these CatQuibbits live up to all the hype?
Well, for the distance 3 code, they saw an average error rate of 1.75%. And with distance 5, it dropped to 1.65%.
1.65%. Not bad. But is that good? Like, really good?
It's a start. In the quantum world, those tiny improvements are actually huge steps. And get this, they managed to keep the error correction going for 2.8 microseconds per cycle.
2.8 microseconds, that sounds incredibly short.
It is. But in the quantum realm, that's like an eternity.
Uh-huh.
It gives us more time to manipulate and process information before those pesky errors creep in.
So more breathing room for our quantum calculations. But does this mean we're about to have perfectly reliable quantum computers?
Not quite perfectly reliable just yet. We're talking about a field where even atoms have a mind of their own. But hey. It's progress, right?
Right, definitely. But this AWS research does make it seem like these CatQuibbits could really be a game changer. So what does this all mean for actually having practical, everyday quantum computers? Are we talking like a few years down the road, or is it still way out there?
Ah, the million-dollar question. It's tough to say for sure. Quantum research is like navigating uncharted territory. You never know when you might stumble upon a groundbreaking discovery or hit a roadblock.
So, no firm dates yet.
Mm.
Fair enough. But it's not like researchers are putting all their eggs in the cat quibbit basket, right? What are some of the other approaches they're exploring for this whole error correction challenge?
Oh, absolutely not. There's a whole smorgasbord of brilliant ideas out there. It's like a quantum science fair, with everyone showing off their coolest projects. Some teams are laser-focused on building more stable qubits from the get-go, tackling those errors at their source.
Okay, so like strengthening the foundation before you start building the skyscraper.
Exactly. It's all about finding those materials and techniques that can withstand the delicate dance of the quantum world.
Makes sense. What else have they got up their sleeves?
Well, there's a lot of buzz around these things called topological qubits.
Okay.
They're like the superheroes of the quantum realm, theoretically immune to certain types of errors.
Immune, now that's what I'm talking about. How do they pull that off?
It's all about the way information is encoded within their very structure. Imagine a pretzel, you can twist and turn it, even tie it in knots, but the hole in the middle remains the same.
Okay, I'm kind of seeing it. So the information is like that hole, no matter what kind of quantum shenanigans are happening around it, it stays protected.
You got it. It's a completely different approach to encoding information, and it could be a game changer for error correction.
That's amazing. It seems like there's this incredible energy in the field right now, with everyone racing towards the same goal from all these different angles. It makes you wonder what the winning combination will be, you know?
That's the beauty of it, isn't it? It's like a giant puzzle, and we're all trying to find those missing pieces.
And even if we don't have all the answers just yet, just think of all the incredible spin-offs that come from this kind of research. I mean, pushing the boundaries of science like this has to have some pretty awesome side effects, right?
Absolutely. It's like that saying, it's about the journey, not just the destination. When you're exploring the unknown, you're bound to stumble upon things you never even imagined.
It's like those accidental discoveries that end up changing the world.
Precisely. We've seen it time and time again throughout history. Take penicillin, for example, a serendipitous discovery that revolutionized medicine. Or the microwave oven, who knew a radar experiment would lead to that.
I can't imagine life without a microwave now. Mm-hmm. So while we're all waiting for these super powerful, world-changing quantum computers to become a reality, we're already reaping the benefits of the journey.
Exactly. And who knows what other groundbreaking technologies might emerge from this quest for quantum supremacy.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, from the nitty-gritty of cat qubits to the broader landscape of error correction and the mind-blowing potential of quantum computing.
And let's not forget those topological pretzels.
Right, those two. But now I want to turn it over to you, our listeners. You're clearly as fascinated by this world as we are, and I'm sure you have your own thoughts on all of this. So let's talk timelines. When can we realistically expect to see these, like, truly reliable, fault-tolerant quantum computers making headlines? 5 years? 50? What's your gut feel?
If only I had a quantum crystal ball. Predicting the future in a field this revolutionary is next to impossible. It's like trying to guess the winning lottery numbers. You might get lucky, but the odds aren't exactly in your favor.
Okay, so no putting you on the spot for a specific date. But assuming we get there and it seems like a question of when, not if, at this point, what kind of impact could these fault-tolerant quantum computers have? I mean, we're talking about a whole new realm of computing power here, right?
It's not just about more power. It's about a fundamentally different way of processing information. Imagine a world where we can design life-saving drugs with pinpoint accuracy, create entirely new materials with properties we haven't even dreamed of, model complex systems like financial markets or climate change with unprecedented precision.
It's like stepping into a sci-fi movie. And you mentioned AI earlier. I keep hearing whispers about this whole quantum AI thing, how it could be this massive game changer.
Quantum AI has the potential to be absolutely revolutionary. Think about it. Our current AI is fundamentally limited by the capabilities of classical computers. But quantum AI, that could unlock a whole new level of intelligence with the ability to tackle problems that are simply insurmountable for even the most powerful computers today.
So we're not just talking about faster calculations, but a whole new way for machines to think and learn.
Exactly. It's like comparing a bicycle to a spaceship. Both can get you from point A to point B, but the possibilities are on completely different scales.
Mind-blowing. And to think we're probably just scratching the surface of what's possible with quantum computing.
That's what makes this field so incredibly exciting. We're standing at the very edge of a technological frontier, and the view from here is nothing short of breathtaking.
It's both exhilarating and a little bit terrifying, isn't it, to think of all the possibilities and challenges that lie ahead?
Absolutely. But even if we don't see these world-altering quantum computers in our lifetime, it's crucial to remember that the journey itself is incredibly valuable.
Right. It's about all those amazing discoveries we make along the way, all those unexpected breakthroughs that push the boundaries of human knowledge and ingenuity. And those ripples can have far-reaching impacts, often in fields we least expect.
Precisely. The pursuit of knowledge is an adventure, and every step we take brings us closer to unlocking the secrets of the universe.
Beautifully said. Well, I think we've thoroughly explored the fascinating world of catquibbits, error correction, and the tantalizing promise of fault-tolerant quantum computing.
It's been an absolute pleasure joining you on this deep dive.
The pleasure was all ours. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this incredible journey into the quantum realm. Keep those questions coming, and who knows, maybe one of you will be the ones to make the next big breakthrough. Until next time.